Hello.
Good morning.
Yes. Good morning, or as we're seeing on the chat, good whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, good something.
So, exactly. So, this is the ASP.NET MVC4 web application jumpstart.
It is.
And so I am John Galloway. Nice to meet you.
Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I've been working at Microsoft for almost 4 years now. I've been focusing on ASP.NET MVC mostly. And I've been doing ASP.NET for a long time, having a lot of fun with it.
Okay.
And you are Christopher.
I am Christopher. I've been at MCT now for just about 12 years. I've been doing .NET since 2002, and MVC now for the last couple, 3 years, something like that. SharePoint and SQL, and here I am.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, you know, I'm excited to be working with you on this because we come from, we both do the same sort of things, but we come from kind of different backgrounds in that you are a professional trainer. So you train certification classes, you do, and this, what we're talking about today is actually based on the official MVC4 certification course.
Yep. Yeah, the 20486, which is the designing, creating, developing MVC4 applications. And as for me, I actually taught the beta for this at in Redmond around about, it was like 6 months ago. So, yeah.
That's great. And then I do a lot of kind of like what's new and what's coming stuff. So this, and you know, of course, then I write books about MVC and stuff like that.
Yep.
But it's been really great to already to work with you so far.
Yeah,
this is going to be a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun. I also love the fact that we both live in the San Diego area and finally met here in Seattle. That's fantastic.
So if we can go to the deck, this is a look at what we're going to be covering today. We'll be starting with an overview of MVC. And in that, we'll talk about, you know, what MVC is and just kind of introducing the concepts.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll dig into everything kind of in a lot more detail. So obviously models, controllers, and views. And that's where we'll really kind of tear into the specifics.
Exactly, yeah. See really what's going on behind the scenes. So modules 2, 3, and 4 that we'll be covering is really kind of the heart of everything. So we'll get in, we'll take a look at models, see how to make all those work, take a look at our controllers, talk about the fact that really at the end of the day, they're just classes and methods.
Mm-hmm.
Like you already have the skills to do this. And then we'll get in, take a look at how to display all the data utilizing views.
Exactly.
Yep.
And then in the afternoon, we've got some, we've got JavaScript and MVC.
Yep.
We've got web APIs, which is a great way to build HTTP services.
Yep.
And works well with MVC, but kind of a different angle on it, serving XML, JSON, or other syntax as opposed to HTML for a browser.
Exactly. Yep.
Then we actually deploy a website. This is the most likely to fail demo for me. I love this one. And then at the very end of the day, we send you off with kind of what's next, a sneak peek at MVC 5 and at Visual Studio 2013 and kind of resources to keep up.
Yep. And in fact, let's just go ahead and quantify this. Basically, all of our demos are live. So if something does go sideways, here's our apology right up front.
Yeah.
All right.
But we're kind of hoping, actually, that if you fail, because we want to show you what it's like to develop with MVC.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yep.
Excellent.
All right. I hope yours fail more than mine, though.
Wait a minute.
back to the slides here. These are kind of the expectations of what we, you know, are you in the right place, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So basically what we're looking for is people that are new to MVC4. We've got a collective 6 hours. So obviously, you know, we're not going to be able to cover everything about MVC4 in 6 hours. But at the very least, we're going to be able to get in and take a look at the biggest things, the big hit items that you'll need to know when you go back to your desk on Wednesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
and start actually playing with this. Also, if you're considering taking the 7486 exam, which is the MVC4 ASP.NET exam, this is also geared in that general direction. If you decide that you want more in-depth training, there is actually an official course, again, which is this is based off of the 20486, developing ASP.NET MVC4 web applications. And I happen to know a trainer that can do a pretty good job with that class.
As I said, Christopher is a full-time trainer, and this is what he does.
Yep.
Like you're saying, this is condensed down from a week-long class normally.
Exactly.
Right? So we're hitting the high points, but what we're hoping to do, this is a jump start.
Yep.
We're hoping to set you up for success so you can go from this and kind of move on.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. This is done. This event is part of the Microsoft Virtual Academy. So we have a link there for signing up and joining the MVA community. I think there's about 1.3 million people registered on this. This is a great place to get free online training. You can track your points. You can interact with experts and all kinds of great stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, so for this particular course, you get to earn 50 MVA points. You'll notice the URL right there, http://aka.ms. WAC MVA-voucher, and again, you'll notice the code ASP.NET MVC4, no spaces, just simply those 9 letters and a number at the end, and that will expire on the 18th of October. So just for the international crowd, 18th of October there.
And you want to save up those points in part because when you get 100 points, that entitles you to a free copy of ASP.NET MVC4, which is free, but still, it's nice to get that benefit.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, so let's dig right into Module 1. This is the overview of MVC4.
Yeah, let's get into it. Let's take a look at some code.
All right. So first of all, MVC is built on top of ASP.NET.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in ASP.NET, what you're going to notice is there isn't just one way to create applications. That we're going to talk a little bit about web pages. I'll talk about where you might use those. We'll talk a little bit about web forms, where you could potentially use those. And then, of course, ASP.NET. But really, those two last bullet points, one ASP.NET to rule them all, so to speak, it's all ASP.NET at the end. So if you are a web forms developer, if you've done this in the past, making the move to MVC is actually a relatively natural transition. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about web page applications. So the whole goal of the web pages is really for just creating a very simple, I just need an application up and running right now. So if you're a little nonprofit, maybe you're just trying to put together a basic informational website, maybe with a little bit of data going on behind the scenes, this is perfect. And this will actually work with either WebMatrix or Visual Studio. And it does still give you control over your HTML. So if you are looking to play around with some of the cooler things inside of jQuery or otherwise, you've got that capability.
Yep, and you know I've had a lot of fun. I've used WebMatrix for and ASP.NET Web Pages. Mm-hmm. For a lot of, like you're saying, smaller sites. My background when I first came into ASP.NET, I'd before that done classic ASP and even a little PHP, and that's kind of that style of development, right? So it's inline, mm-hmm. it's one long page of script, you've got your HTML, you've got your code intermingled, and it's basically that Razor syntax.
Yep.
That we'll be looking at that MVC uses for views as well.
Exactly.
Okay.
The next possibility is web forms, and it's sort of funny to say this. We used to be saying, you know, traditional ASP years and years and years ago, and now we're saying to some people will say traditional ASP.NET, which I don't necessarily like, but it is sort of what people still think of every now and then is web forms. The whole thing about web forms is this is all control-based. This is all event-based. That this is where I'm just going to take this little control over here. I'm going to drag and drop it out onto my screen. I'm going to bring up the properties window. I'm going to click here. I'm going to type out a little SQL query. I'm going to hit OK. And that's basically it. And then automatically behind the scenes, it'll do things like paging. I can bind that up to other controls. So it's fantastic if what you're looking for is rapid application development. If you need something up and running, even enterprise class right now, Web Forms is perfect for that.
Mm-hmm. And it's great for some of those things like forms over data, very kind of. And it does allow you to, for people that like, Web Forms first came out when people were first kind of making the migration from desktop and writing their first web apps, right?
Exactly.
And so on the desktop, you're used to, you don't have to worry about state, right? Your application just is there. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to kind of all the time say, who am I? What am I doing here? It's like Memento, that movie, right?
Yes, yes, tattoo it to yourself, yeah.
So that's, you know, one of the frustrations with a web page is you constantly have to wake up and say, what am I doing? And figure everything out and then go on. And so what Web Forms allowed you to do, maintain that state and also only kind of focus in on one control at a time. So you've got a grid and the grid doesn't need to care about anything else except where do I get my data and I'm done, you know? And so those are nice things, but then they also kind of fight with the whole concept of building a web page. You give up some things there,
exactly,
too.
Yeah, that if you really truly want control over your HTML, trying to do that with web forms becomes a much bigger battle.
Yeah.
And this is where we get into, next slide, MVC, that with MVC, now everything is sort of exposed, and that's probably my second favorite component about MVC is that while MVC doesn't force you into a separation of concerns, that you could still, you know, put a whole bunch of really bad stuff inside your controller, it does lend itself much better to that separation of control, that my model is going to be my business logic. This is what we're trying to do behind the scenes. My views is going to be the display. This is the table that I want to show to my user. This is the form that I want to show to my user. And then my controller is what's going to make all the magic happen, that my controller is going to get the request from the user, take the information, pass it back to the model, let the model do its thing. It's then going to take the response back from the model, combine that with the view, and then send that out the door. So you get this very nice, clean separation of concerns. You get the testability, because at the end of the day, a controller is nothing but a class. Your models are obviously just classes. So if you're wanting to do test-driven development, you've got very easy capabilities to do that with MVC. And then again, with the view, everything is sort of up to you, that no bit of HTML is going to appear on that page unless you said, hey, I want this on there. So if you are looking to do CSS, if you are looking to do JavaScript, this becomes a lot easier. You get complete control over how that display is going to come together.
Yeah. You know, I like how you say that, that, you know, the separation of concerns, it's just, it really simplifies things when you need it. And yep. I found, you know, we both had our start in developing web forms applications first for a number of years. And what I found was it was very quick to get started. And then after a while, I found that I was having to use a lot of discipline to force some separation and say, okay, wait a minute, we need a business logic layer, we need a data access layer, we need user controls, we need, and so pretty soon you have to kind of invent your own patterns, and it wasn't the cleanest match. Controls don't really lend themselves to pattern-based development. And so what I found with MVC, like when I was first starting, people would tell me, you know, TDD and separation of concerns and patterns and all that. And those are great things that kind of fall out of it. So you don't have to understand the benefits to get started, really.
Exactly. Yep.
But once you get started, having this kind of clean separation makes it easy for your code then to all of a sudden, wow, this was a lot simpler now. This is a lot easier.
And right along those same lines, going to the next slide, this leads perfectly right into this, which is the fact that at the end of the day, you're still doing ASP.NET. And this is why I really don't like people saying, you know, classic ASP.NET when they're talking about web forms, because it is still ASP.NET. That it's the same features, it's the same functionality, it is still ASP.NET. So a lot of what you learned in web forms does apply into doing MVC.
Exactly. So you've got that same, that purple box at the bottom. ASP.NET is purple. Important to remember. That'll be on the test.
And so that's question one, actually.
Exactly. So, but that is your core. That's what's lying underneath. And so if you've been, exactly as you're saying, if you've been doing ASP.NET web forms development for years, and then you're saying, wow, I've got to start over with MVC.
You don't.
You don't, right?
Yeah.
So when I, you know, I was like, okay, how do I do, how do I handle, like, say login or authentication, membership stuff.
Yes.
Well, that's all still there, right? It's
exactly.
The same things. And so it's great to be able to just, it's kind of another front end on top of that ASP core.
Exactly, right? Exactly. And just like you mentioned, everything that you've been using in the past is still there. So the configuration is still there. Your membership, just like you mentioned, your membership, your roles are still there. Next slide. The state management capabilities, being able to utilize the session object, being able to utilize the cache object, being able to utilize the output cache, all of that that you've been doing in the past with web forms is still there in MVC. The biggest thing is you're just not dragging and dropping out of control. You're just writing a little bit of code to make all that magic happen.
And you know, so what that actually means then is inside a single site, you can use more than one of these, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can create a hybrid application. And so, you know, I'll talk to people and they'll say, I've got a web form site and it's got these grids and it's got these controls. There's no way we're going to rewrite this.
Right.
Yep. And I'll say, well, that's fine. You can still add a controller to that and get going. And that gets a lot easier. I'll be showing at the end of this with MVC 5 and Visual Studio 2013. The One ASP.NET tooling makes that easier. But especially, and it's even easier inside any MVC application, you can add a web forms page. And they play happily together because it's all that same ASP.NET core under the hood.
Yep, absolutely.
All right.
You know, I think it's time to look at some code.
You think some code?
Yeah,
huh?
Absolutely. I mean, we're, what, 25 minutes into this? We haven't seen a line of code. We need code.
So I want to show one quick slide, and only because I worked so hard on these animations.
Oh,
and I'm
really proud of this.
Okay. So let me show.
Pixar has nothing on these animations.
So normally when you see an MVC presentation, there's always like three boxes or three circles with arrows between them and stuff like that. And that never really did anything for me because all they said was model view and controller.
Yep.
And I already knew that. That was one thing I knew about MVC already. So let's look at what happens when an ASP.NET MVC request comes in.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. So first of all, that request comes in. Somebody types something into their URL. Now I'm going to use some really technical terms here. The controller does some stuff.
So
the controller is what accepts that request. The request comes in. The controller wakes up and says, "All right, time to make the donuts." It goes to work, and it often uses a model. Models that like business logic. But sometimes a controller can be really simple, and it doesn't even need that model.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So then it does stuff, and that does stuff is just whatever your logic is, right?
Exactly, yeah. It could be contacting a database. It could just simply be, just returning back static HTML. Whatever it is that it needs to do, it just does stuff.
Okay. So then, if it comes up with some data, right? Mm-hmm. You've got some data to display to a user or something, that is your model. So your model is kind of a container for that data.
Yep.
And then, the view's job is just to visually represent that model. So the view says, okay, I am a view, and my job is to display a customer.
Yep.
And so I'm passed a customer model, and I'm going to turn that into HTML, and then we're going to send that off to a happy user.
Yep.
Right?
That's exactly it.
Yep. So I like to start with this because it's important to. If you see, like, the whole goal of what we're going to talk about the rest of this session is just see these parts fitting together.
Yes.
And once you kind of get kind of the zen of how these parts fit together,
yep.
then you don't have to stress about, like, what is the third override for this? Or, you know,
exactly.
Like,
yeah.
So it's kind of more of the feeling of how this works together.
Yeah. So, and all kidding aside on that slide, the animations aside, no, that it does a perfect job of just kind of summing everything up, that the request comes in, passed along to the controller does whatever it is that it needs to do, and then sends the response back to the user.
Great. Yep. Okay, so I'm going to fire up Visual Studio, and we're going to start by creating a basic MVC application.
Okay,
so,
let's do it.
All right, so here we go. I've got my friendly start page. I'm going to create a new application. So I'm using the C# web templates. I'm going to go in, I'll create MVC application 1, my first ever MVC application. So there are several different project types. Empty is really empty. And this one is the, I know what I'm doing, get out of my way, and I'm going to write all my code myself one.
Exactly.
Basic is what I'll be using for this demo. And this is kind of it's enough that I don't have to write a ton of code to get something on the screen. But there's not a lot of like login logic or things like that.
Exactly.
Okay, internet application is the one that I kind of recommend for if you're actually building an MVC app and you want to get something done and you don't want it to look terrible. This has some basic styling and things like that.
Yeah, the out of the box it's decent. It's actually what we'll be using for the later demos.
Okay, intranet. The only difference from internet to intranet is that it's set up for web or for Windows off.
Yep.
So Windows authentication. And then these are ones that we're not going to dig into right now, but you can also, there are other templates. So there's a mobile application, web API, single page. So this is your kind of like a map or an email that refreshes all the time.
Yep.
And then Facebook application even. So so I'm going to create that basic. And then there are two view engines possible. We've got Razor, which is what we'll be using all of today.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the ASPX. And this is kind of, this was the first one that shipped with MVC.
Yep.
And it's if you are kind of familiar with WebForms, it looks like WebForm syntax.
It looks. It always reminds me of just the classic ASP that
right.
instead of the percent equals, it's now percent colon.
But I love Razor. I use it
yes,
so much
absolutely.
Easier.
Absolutely. All the cool kids are using Razor.
Yep.
Yep.
And then I recommend, and we're not going to dig into testing here, but I recommend checking this unit test box.
Yep.
So when you create a new app, if you don't like, it doesn't force you to get a TDD tattoo or anything. You don't have to, like, you know, become a member for life.
Right.
But it's easier to start writing tests when you need them.
Exactly. And this sort of goes back to what we were talking about before, about that nice, clean separation of concerns, is that this lends itself so very well to doing testing. And you'll notice that right there in front of you, hey, create a test project. Because, again, that's what it's all about. It's all about that separation of concern, and everything is a class.
Great. Okay, so let's create this MVC4 application. So what I'm going to do while it's creating it, you're saying, what on earth is happening here? And oops, I did the wrong thing. I want to look down in the lower corner here. And you'll see, well, it went a little faster than I did. What it was doing there is it was actually adding NuGet packages to the application.
Mm-hmm.
So NuGet is a way of adding assemblies, references, like jQuery, all kinds of things into the application. So that's a nice way. Before, when you created an application, it would just throw a bunch of stuff in a folder, and you really didn't have any way to upgrade it easily or anything like that.
Yep, exactly.
So now this, with NuGet packages, that's a way you can handle that. So these are you know, all the references that are added. I'm going to close that because that's scary. So now let's take a look at this folder structure, because this is important. When you started with a WebForms application, there wasn't a whole lot of structure to it because it didn't really matter.
You got a default ASPX,
right,
and that was it.
Okay. So here what we have is actually, I'm going to point at things and all that. We've got a controller folder. That's where your controllers are going to go.
Yep.
We've got a models folder. That's where your models are going to go.
Yep.
And we have a views folder, and that's where your views go. And then there's some other things like scripts and stuff like that. But really, this is already, you're seeing kind of the start of that kind of convention approach, right?
Yep. Exactly.
So in the basic template, we have zero controllers. So if I run this application, there's not much that's going to happen right now. So I'm going to add a controller. So I'll right-click here and say Add Controller. And I'm going to call this the Home Controller. And it's going to be empty to start with.
So. And you'll notice the naming on that.
Yeah.
Just like John mentioned a second ago, it's all about convention. So the controllers are going to be in the controller folder, and they're going to have the name of something controller. Now, it is possible to go in and create your own controller factories and manage some of that, but that's the convention. Your controllers go into that controller folder, and it's just simply name controller.
Yep. Now, if I want to be a rebel, I could go in and I could create controllers wherever I want. I could add a controller right in the root. I could add a controller, you know, I mean, it's just a class. So mm-hmm. I could pick this up and move it around. I don't want to actually do that, but I could. because the way that it finds the controllers, it doesn't require that. But it's already pointing you down that path of
right.
Let's organize your project, please.
Yep.
Okay, so I've got a controller. Now, if I run this, there's no view yet. So the controller does some stuff and then it says, hey, view. Let's display something, and there's no view yet,
yep.
right? So let's add a view. So I'm just going to right-click on this, and I'm going to say Add View. And so this view, this is the index method. So let's call this the index view. So again, that kind of following conventions, right?
Yep.
So I'm going to add that. Now, this is Razor syntax. If you haven't seen Razor, this is going to look a lot like HTML to you. So here we can put code inside of, if I want to write some code, I could say at, datetime.now or whatever. I can start writing just some code and write it out. But my view is, its whole job is to display the model as HTML. And so it's nice to kind of have an HTML-first view of the world, right?
Yep.
Okay, so now let's just run this. So I'm going to hit the F5. So it's compiling that, and it's going to spin this up. And hopefully we will see index, which is, probably the coolest demo ever. So just to prove, that I'm not, so let's say for real. And I should actually have like a picture of me holding a newspaper, right?
With today's date.
Right. Okay, so that was that. Now, one thing we'll notice is that was the home controller index view, index method, right?
Exactly, yep.
But I didn't have to type that in the URL.
You're right.
Some
yeah, all you did
happened.
Was just brought up the localhost and then the random port for Visual Studio.
So now what if I type in home index? Same thing comes up,
yep.
right? And now let's type in, instead of that, let's type in home spaghetti because I'm already getting hungry for lunch. I'm in a spaghetti mood today. Okay, there was no home spaghetti. So exactly, spaghetti code. So what's going on here? And we're already cheating with some conventions a little bit, right?
Yep.
So if we go into our routing is that magic that says, where what URL maps to what controller. So remember in my wonderful $1 million slide that had the arrows and all the magic happening, the request comes in and it goes to a controller, and routing is that switchboard that says, this URL maps to this controller. So it's looking for, it's got a default route, and I recommend using the default routes as much as possible.
Yep.
So here, this default route is saying, I'm looking for something that has three things. It's going to have a it's going to have a controller, an action, and an ID. If there's no controller, we're going to use a default of home.
Yep.
And if there's no action specified, we're going to use a default of index.
Yep.
So that's that kind of mapping switchboard. And you can add as many as you'd like to. You can, you know, get all crazy. My first MVC application, we had like 60 routes. And then after a while, we realized this is madness, right? And so then, and because they're matched top to bottom,
yep.
And you got all of a sudden say, why isn't this right? Oh, because this other one took over, but it was doing. So I recommend sticking to the defaults as much as possible, at least until you have a really good reason not
Keep
to.
Keep it simple.
So, yep.
Yes, very
okay,
simple.
So let's close that. That was kind of simple, going back to simple. So now let's add a new, remember I wanted my spaghetti. So I'm going to create a new action. So I'm going to say MVC. We have these cool snippets. So I say MVC action 4, and I hit tab, and I type in spaghetti, right? And now I want to make a view for spaghetti. Actually, let's run this again, and we'll see what happens if I have a controller action without a view.
Because right? This will do a great job of showing what's going to happen behind the scenes, how it finds the views by default.
Yep. So this is you know, one of those wonderful yellow screen of death messages, but it actually is pointing me on the right track. It's saying, hey, dummy, you created a controller action, but you didn't create a view.
Yep.
So now let's take a look at what I want to do for that view. So I'm going to right-click here, and I could use the, there's a shortcut. I could say Control-M, Control-V, which is kind of make view, right?
Yeah.
So that's how I remember. Okay, so I'm saying, boom, spaghetti, right? And there we go. And now, if I go back in here, let me refresh this page. Whoop, I'm on the wrong one.
Hi, people.
Yeah, hello world. Okay, so let's spin this up, and I'm going to go to home spaghetti. There's spaghetti.
Okay, you got your spaghetti.
See, this is a rocket pace jump start. We are already session one. We are creating spaghetti. All right. So what I want to do is one more thing. Right now controllers are just displaying static views,
right,
which is not rocket science.
Yep.
So let's make the home page display some information, right? So I'm going to stop my application from running. And I'm going to throw something in the view bag. And that's the absolute simplest way to get stuff out
yep.
there. Right?
Yeah, the view bag is basically just a container. It's a dynamic object. You can just create your property on the fly. And whatever it is that you want to send down to the view, you can just toss it inside of there. And this is perfect for just very simple little pieces of information, like you want some spaghetti.
Right.
That's perfect inside
call
the view bag.
Call for help to the world.
Yes.
Right. Okay, so now I'm going to replace this, and I'm going to use Razor syntax to output that.
Yep.
So the controller, remember, the controller passes stuff to the view. It can pass a whole model that's, you know, cleanly modeled out, or it can just pass this view bag, which is very simple. And here I'm going to say at view bag dot message. And you'll notice there I didn't get any IntelliSense, right? I said view bag dot. And that is because ViewBag is just a dynamic object.
Yep, exactly.
So I can go in and say here, I can start putting in, you know, I could say ViewBag.spaghetti.
We really need to get you some spaghetti.
I it's true. So I could say it's 5, and no problems with that, right? And then I don't, you know, if I use it here, I could type in. So I can mistype something here.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that in the next session. That's where models, strongly typed controllers and views start to become, you know,
right,
more useful.
Yeah, you'll
right.
get the IntelliSense, you'll get the compiler errors, you'll get, you know, a much better experience.
Okay, so now let's go to that home page. And there so what happened, I clearly want some spaghetti. And what happened there is the home controller, right? So the routing woke up.
Mm-hmm.
I browsed to nothing, and so the routing engine said, okay, I'm going to use my defaults.
Yep.
I'm going to go to the home controller, which is just a class. It's
yep.
the home controller. And then I'm going to look for the index method, and then it's going to do some stuff, and it's going to return a view. And here's that view, and the view renders HTML, And so what's nice with this is separation of concerns we're talking about is the kind of cleanly breaking things up. The view executes code really just to display things.
Yep.
And so if I look in a view and I see a lot of logic there, I start, you know, that's a problem.
Yes.
And so then that's the time where you say, now, wait a minute, what are you trying to accomplish? You're fighting the pattern,
mm-hmm. right?
And the same, you know, a model, there's different kind of schools of thought on how much logic you want to put in your model, but your model really shouldn't be doing a whole lot of thinking. And it really is kind of intended more to pass information from the controller to the view.
Yep, yeah.
Okay.
Let the controller decide.
Yep. So, I mean, really there we've got some stuff kind of passing along. I don't know. Do we want to?
I think this is a perfect time to actually start digging into it. Let's create some models and let's actually dig a little bit further in. I think that's sort of a perfect 50,000 foot overview. Obviously, there's still a fair amount to talk about, and well, that's why we have the rest of today.
Exactly.
Is to do exactly that.